From the Gospel of Matthew, we read an account of the birth of Jesus Christ. Matthew writes, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus." Names are interesting things. Titles that we give to our children, sometimes beautiful names, sometimes strange ones, as I've done my research and discovered. In fact, you wonder about some parents as to their wisdom or to their sense of humor, or maybe they just had too much celebration before they named their child. So these true names caught my eye as I read about them. There was a couple by the name of Mr. and Mrs. Wright who decided to name their child Seldom. Seldom Wright. Mr. and Mrs. Worthit decided to name their child Harley. Yes, Harley Worthit. Mr. and Mrs. Cianci named their child Nancy Ann. Had a nice flow to it. Nancy Ann Cianci. And finally, Mr. and Mrs. Dunn decided to name their last child All. All Dunn. In scriptures, names signified the character of people often. They revealed a quality about the individual in many cases. Some people's names were changed in their lifetime to signify the kind of person that they were. Here we're talking about naming the child of Mary and her husband Joseph. They didn't get a chance to name their child. God intervened and named him for them. And so we read in scriptures, Emmanuel, Jesus, as Matthew talks about him. The first thing we learn about the names of Jesus, at least from the Gospel of Matthew, is that the name Emmanuel means God with us. Our Lord is called Emmanuel because he is God with us. Matthew, in a lot of his gospel, loves the idea that the Old Testament is all about leading up to the coming of Jesus Christ. And is talking about the coming of Jesus Christ to point out the fact that it is not God above us. It is God with us. It's the great coming down of God, the stooping down of God that we call the Incarnation, and that in these days we call Christmas. It's God coming to be with us. It is not God, the distant, unreachable, or what some people call the man upstairs. It's God who comes to be intimately with us. I may have reflected on this before, but this passage takes me to times in the sanctuary of Hollywood Presbyterian Church, where I served as executive pastor. Now, it's a large sanctuary with a horseshoe balcony. I have some memories of people in that balcony. There was a young adult class that I taught that would sit off to my, as my Hollywood friends would call it, stage left. And there they sat together, and good, because I was able to keep my eye on them. But on one Sunday, toward the end of my time at Hollywood, they decided to do a kind of a Hollywood program thing, and they were each given a large placard, a large cardboard piece of paper. And they decided that one Sunday to grade my sermon. And so they rated my sermon from 1 to 10 on these white pieces of cardboard. And at a certain point in my message toward the end, they would all, and they were sitting kind of in the front row of the balcony, they would hold these numbers up. I could hardly finish my sermon. I both was filled with laughter for their strange behavior, and I was also bothered. I would have wanted some of those nines to go up a little bit in their grading pattern. So over here on this part of the balcony, I was being graded by my so-called friends. Over on this part of the balcony, I had another experience. And over here sat a friend of mine by the name of Jeremy Swan. Jeremy was the head of cardiology at Cedars-Sinai. Jeremy even invented certain instruments with which to do heart surgery. He was a brilliant man and a caring man, and he and his wife would sit over here. I gave him a lot more respect than these guys over here. One day he showed me why. He came down from the balcony one Sunday, and it was at a time when one of our associate pastors was battling cancer, a young man. And Jeremy came down and came to me and said, "Jack, how is Scott doing?" Scott was the one who was struggling with the disease. And I said, "You know, I think he's all right. I don't know that he's gotten any worse. I think he's holding his own." And Jeremy said, "Well, as I saw him on the platform doing his part of the service, he just looked a little flushed, and I wondered about his health." And I looked at Dr. Swan and said, "From the balcony, you're watching the complexion of our faces?" And he said, "Every Sunday, I look at you through my medical eyes as well as my friendship eyes. I want to make sure you're okay, each of you." And I thought, how like God, who comes down from his balcony to be with us in whatever our struggles are, to watch over us, to care for our spiritual health, to make sure we're okay. That's Jesus. He's not just some man upstairs. He's not at some distance. He's not, as some people treat him, as a kind of a managerial God that maybe spun us into existence but never gets close to us. He's just out there, up there, somewhere. The story of Jesus is about a God who came to be with us as close as he could get. The great coming down of our Holy Father. And then this passage also reminds us that this is about a story about a God who is for us. Not only is God with us, Emmanuel, he is for us. The name Jesus that was given was a kind of a Hellenized form of the name out of the Old Testament of Yeshua or Joshua. And Joshua means God saves. God saves. The meaning then for Jesus, first of all, it tells us who Jesus is, God. Secondly, it tells us what Jesus did, saves. God saves. According to the passage we read, he was given the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. We serve a God who comes to us because he doesn't want to condemn us, he wants to save us. God is not some kind of a cosmic policeman who just observes us from afar until we do something wrong and then hands out citations. That the only time he notices us is when we misbehave. He wants to remove us from the consequences of any misbehavior. He wants to save us from our sinfulness. He doesn't save us from our enemy's sinfulness. We sometimes are victim of other people's misbehaviors. And the people who Matthew is writing to were well aware that the history of the Jewish people was a history of oppression and defeat and struggle. It was a history of a people who were slaves under the Egyptians and also the Babylonians, and more recently under the oppression of the Romans. By trusting in God, they didn't escape the pain of the world or the oppression of the world. But within their soul, they were saved from the consequences of sinfulness. Where it counts for eternity, they experience salvation. Salvation for eternity. Jesus came to eliminate what separates human beings from God. And that's what sin does. Sin becomes a wall between God and humankind. And it's not a wall that we can break through. We're not strong enough. We're not strong enough to be perfect. So we need a perfect one to do that for us. Jesus came to do that for us. There's a story told of a young Civil War soldier who discovered that during the war, his brother had been killed. And then he learned that his father also was killed in that war. Now he was the only male left in his family to really take care of his mother. So he felt he needed to go home. He needed to leave the battle to go home and take care of his mom. So he tried to see the president to get some kind of permission to leave the fighting lines. At that time, the president was Abraham Lincoln. But the people in between him and the president wouldn't let him get in, wouldn't give him an audience, wouldn't allow him to get to the authority that could release him from his post. He tried several times, and it turned out to be impossible. So he ended up in a park and on a park bench nearby. And sat in despondency. And as the story is told, a young boy came by and was sensitive enough to notice how sad he was. And so he asked him what was wrong. The soldier told him what had happened, the death of his brother and the death of his father, and how he wanted to go home and take care of his mom, but he couldn't get to see the president. And as the story goes, the young boy said, "Follow me." And so the soldier followed him. Surprisingly, he got into the magnificent building where the president was supposed to be. And he got past the guards, who hardly looked at him except to have a couple of them smile at him. And he got through every barrier that had stopped the soldier, and finally he was face to face with President Lincoln, who looked up and saw him and the young boy and said, "Hello, Todd, the president's son," who had brought him to the president. And the result was that the man who held that office released him from his fighting post so he could take care of his mother. It took the son to get this man to meet the one in power. It took the son to accomplish that which he had hoped to accomplish and care for his mother. It took the son to create that relationship. Kind of like the Christmas story, isn't it? It took the son to come to us, find us in whatever stage and state of life that we were in, and bring us to God, to get past the barriers of our own sinfulness, to eliminate the distance between us and our Heavenly Father. This is a God who acted for us, will always act for us. The Bible says that Jesus came not to condemn us, but to save us. He's not the harsh cosmic policeman. He's not the one at a distance. He's the one who stooped down from the heavens to be as intimate with us as our breath and create a relationship that would last forever, because sin was taken care of for us on the cross. That separation was gone. Joseph and Mary perhaps gave some thought to what they should name this child. And God said to them, "I'm going to name him. This is Emmanuel, God with us. This is Jesus, who will save his people from their sins." Thank God. Amen.